Thanks, Geoff. I have not met a person who went to China and did not come back changed. Have not met one yet. He just shared with us his top four. I'm going to share with you one of my top one a little bit later as I share with you God's Word. It is good to be home. I rehearsed with the worship team yesterday, and I counted the day from the time I left this church to go to Fort Bend for church planting until now. It's been 7 years. It's been 7 years. And how I missed worshiping with you all, with all of you amid shouts of joy and thanksgiving. And God has really done great things in this church and also in Fort Bend. My greetings from Fort Bend, the brothers and sisters. We really miss you all. As I look down, I see old faces. I saw Bill and Dorothy. I saw Sarah and many of you that are so familiar to me. And I miss all of you. And I'm very glad to be able to serve you again and to worship with you today. This morning, I also dragged my wife up from her bed and brought her. Just want to show you what we are like today. So if Amy can stand up. We are very grateful for this church. We're very grateful because this is the church where we learned to walk with God. This is the church where we were loved by all of you, where we were prayed for by all of you. This is a church that we learned and we were equipped to do the ministry. And this is the church where we receive God's blessing and the church where we receive His calling for my life. And I'm forever grateful for that. I'm very thankful because you not only pray for me, but you also support me. Your mission department support my ministry. And I want to thank you for you all. And I also want to share with you that my family is growing also. When I left, I have two small children. Now my son, my daughter, my first one, is going into high school. And my son is going into middle school. So I tried to drag them here, but they have the commitment in Fort Bend, so they can't come. But just to give you an idea how fast they grow, my son, last August, I bought him a pair of shoes. And up to today, we bought him the third pair of shoes. His shoe size went from 7 to 8.5, and now he's going to 9.5. And seems like he's still growing. So just want to tell you that we really were blessed by the Lord. And today I would like to share with you a message that is very close to my heart. And I know we have scripture reading, but I would like to read the scripture while I speak. Now this is a very small story that was recorded in the Gospel of Mark. In the Gospel of Mark. When Jesus had already entered into Jerusalem. And here, there are two more days before Passover. So let's all read together verse 1 and verse 2 together. Let's read it together. Now the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were only 2 days away. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or the people may riot. Jesus Christ, when he entered into Jerusalem, he entered amid shouts of joy. People were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who come in the name of the Lord. And I'm sure the disciples were very happy and they were very glad that they finally come to the capital of Israel. And they were thinking, after 3.5 years of ministering to Jesus, maybe this is the time that Jesus is going to declare himself as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But little did they know that the way that Jesus is going to declare himself is quite different from what they are hearing, what they are thinking. And also in Jerusalem, there is festivities. I think it is a time of celebration. They are celebrating Passover, the feast of the unleavened bread. But amid all of these festivals, there is also the danger behind the scene. The Pharisees were thinking, were scheming, were thinking about some sly way they can get rid of Jesus, because Jesus has been giving them too much trouble. And in this background, Mark recorded this little incident. And let's read together what happened in the house of Simon. Verse 3 together. Say, while Jesus was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. As you may imagine, with all these festivities, with all this thinking of Jesus Christ is going to declare himself that he is the king. But yet Mark did not record the conversations on the table. You can only imagine the conversations on the table. Maybe Peter was giving the 3 years plan of how to rule over Israel. Or maybe the two disciples keep asking Jesus, am I going to sit on your right? Am I going to sit on your left? There are so much dreams about the future. But yet Mark did not record any of the conversations. But Mark recorded this very simple act of anointing. Mary, in another gospel, we know this lady is Mary. She brought a very expensive alabaster jar of perfume. And she broke the jar and anoint Jesus on his head. And this act of love, this act of worship, is what Mark recorded. And later, when we read what Jesus commanded about this woman's act, he said, everywhere when you share the gospel, when you preach the gospel, you need to also tell of what this woman has done for me. This incident is so small, but yet it is so significant that everywhere we preach the gospel, that this story needs to be told. God called me to usher people into his presence through music, through his word. And I have been faithful to this act. But yet sometimes I feel teaching people to worship is so difficult. I have heard a pastor once said, he said, teaching people to worship is so difficult. It's as difficult as teaching people to fall in love. Amen? Teaching people to worship is as difficult as teaching people to fall in love. It is impossible. You know you are in love, but you cannot be taught how you fall in love. Teaching people to worship is the same. But yet, here, the Bible recorded a very simple act of love, a very simple act of worship. But it is extravagant, no less. Very extravagant act of love and extravagant act of worship. Mary broke the alabaster jar and she poured the oil upon Jesus' head. And Jesus said, this, you need to tell of this act everywhere we share the gospel. This act has evoked two different responses. This little act has evoked two different acts, two different responses. Let's read the first one in verses 4 to 5. Verses 4 to 5. Okay, let's read it together. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. and they rebuked her harshly. You can only imagine the anger that was behind this sentences. They rebuked her harshly. They said, "Why you waste this perfume?" You know, they said this perfume costs a year's wages. I did some research about how expensive perfume can be. So in the internet, I forgot the name of the perfume. But it goes for, let me see, it goes for $200 for half an ounce. Okay, have you have any perfume that's $200 for half an ounce? Now, Mary used about a pound of it, okay, maybe about 12 ounces of perfume as she anointed Jesus. So I calculate, even the most expensive perfume, $200, $200, a half ounce, 12 ounces only cost $5,000. $5,000. But here the Bible says it is a year's wages. Now in today's term, I don't know about U.S. Average wages, but I would say even minimum wage, you make maybe $20,000 a year. Fair? About $20,000 a year. So that is a year's wages, and Mary broke the year's wages and anointed on Jesus' head. And this is the reason of their anger. The people around, and in another account it says, these are the disciples. They were very angry, and they even bring the trump card. They say, this perfume could have been sold and the money given to the poor. Now, you know what is the problem of this? The problem of this is, in the mind, every act, you can put a price tag on it. Okay? Hear me. In the mind, that every single act, everything in the world, you can put a price tag on it. But is it true? But if it is true. So they assign a value. And the word waste is a word that they use in the marketplace. Waste meaning that the money you have given out in a certain transaction, you did not get enough in return to the money that you have given out. So this is what we call waste. So the disciple says, why do you waste this perfume on Jesus? So that is the problem. They assign this act of love a certain price tag. Now, if money is the standard of everything, then what price can you put for love? How much do you want people to price your love for someone? Or how much money would you spend to buy love? Now, this is such a simple concept that even Hollywood has gotten it right. Okay? Hollywood never seldom get things right. But this is what they got right. Now, have you seen this commercial? Dinner, $100. A taxi ride to the opera house, $80. Two opera tickets, $200. But a night with your beloved, priceless. For everything else, you know, there is... I don't want to give them commercial. But Hollywood got it right. Some things are priceless. Some things are priceless. It cannot be priced. There is no price tag on love. In Song of Songs, Song of Solomon, it has this verse in chapter 8, verse 7. He says, many waters cannot quench love. River cannot wash it away. But if one were to give all the wealth of his house for love, to exchange for love, he would be utterly despised. If you were to buy love with everything you got, you will be utterly despised. Is money the standard of everything? Jesus said, no, it is not the standard of everything. If you can put a price tag on everything, then I'm sure the Savior also has a price tag. And no wonder they sold the Savior for 30 silver pieces, because he also has a price tag. But look at Jesus' response. Jesus' response. One response is angry, but Jesus comes to the defense of the women. Let's read from 6 to 9 together. Just go straight through. 6 to 9. Leave her alone, said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Jesus came to her defense. Jesus, first off, he said, it is not a wasteful act. What she did is what? It's a beautiful thing to me. What she did is an act of love. It's an act of worship. It is a beautiful thing. He said, for you always have the poor with you, but you don't always have me with you. The disciples do not know that. They took Jesus for granted. And they say, the poor is important. Jesus said, Jesus did not deny that giving to the poor is important. But yet he said there is something that is more important. They have a little messed up in their priority. The act of love always come before our service for the Lord. Even when Jesus called Peter at the Sea of Tiberias, he didn't say, Peter, come feed my sheep. But he asked Peter three times, do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? Then feed my sheep. Do you love me, Peter? Then feed my lambs. Jesus has shown that there is a priority. The poor is important. Giving to the poor is important. But not comparing with loving Jesus, loving our Lord, worshiping him by offering him an extravagant gift of love. So he commanded Mary because she got her priority correct. Loving God always come before giving to the poor. And I dare say, in the whole history of giving to the poor, no one would give a year's wage unless he loved God first. Amen? No one would give a year's wage to the poor unless this person loved God first. So Jesus again clarified the priority. Loving God comes before serving him. Loving God comes before giving to him. And loving God is the most important priority. What are our priorities? What are our priorities today? Is our priority loving God, worshiping God, expressing our love for him? I went to China 2 years ago, and this is my top one, Geoff. This is for you. You know what I learned? As I worship with them, I sense a priority in their heart. As I lead them to worship, they sing their heart out. They were crying. When we were praying, they were praying out loud. And then one old sister come and share with me one time. She said, you do not know When we went through the cultural revolutions, the government shut down all of the churches. For 10 years, we cannot go to the church. And the church went underground. And she said, but in 76, when they finally allowed people to go to church, when they finally opened the doors to the church, thousands of them come to the church and they crowd in the first row. And then they were crying because this is the priority. And they do not know whether this priority will always be there. They really did not know whether this is the last time they have to worship. I was very touched. And I know what is my problem when it comes to worshiping God. Because worshiping God and loving God is not my priority. Now, we are very spoiled in the United States. Sometimes on a Sunday, I would wake up and I said, well, if I don't go this week, next week, I can still go again. Are you really sure that next week you can go again? Are you really that sure that you can take it for granted? Or if I don't serve God today, I can do that 3 years later. Are you sure that the opportunity will still be there after 3 years? What is our priority? Is our priority loving God and worshiping God? Or is our priority elsewhere? But Jesus commanded Mary. She has her priority right. She not only has her priority right, but she also seized the opportunity, seized the moment to worship God. She did not take the opportunity for granted. See, she believed in what Jesus has told her. And she knows when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, that she knows all the prophecy that Jesus has spoken before is going to come true. And she, in her heart, she knows Jesus is going to be suffering in the hands of sinners, that Jesus will also be crucified. And that's why she seized the moment. In a world that is dominated by male leadership, what Mary did was very daring. What Mary did was very daring. In the houses full of men, they were eating on the table. They were talking about important things. But yet Mary would come, make a beeline to Jesus, broke the alabaster jar, and anoint Jesus' head with the perfume. She seized the opportunity. She knew that it may not come again. That's why Jesus said what she did, what she could. Because what she did was to prepare his body for burial. She seized the opportunity because this will be the last opportunity that Mary can lavish her love on Jesus. By breaking that jar, by giving all she could, giving all she has to her Savior, to the one that she loved. Did she care what people, when they rebuke her harshly? She did not care. Because in her eye, she only has her Savior in her eyes. And because of this act, because that she seized opportunity, I believe it touched our Savior's heart. I believe it warmed his heart. 2 days before Passover. And we know what happened on that Passover evening. Jesus was arrested. Jesus was judged in the Sanhedrin. He was sentenced to death by Pontius Pilate. I think when Jesus was standing in front of all this angry crowd, when he was arrested, when he was being beaten, she can smell the perfume that Mary has anointed on his head. And that warmed our Savior's heart. As he was carrying that cross across the Via Dolorosa, he can smell the perfume that Mary has anointed him. And that warms our Savior's heart. And as he was hanging on that cross, he can still smell that perfume. And he knows Mary believed. Mary also seized the opportunity to lavish her love on Jesus Christ. That's why what Mary did is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing that warms our Savior's heart. An act of love is also an act that is unreserved. An act that she goes all out for is letting people around her, sometimes they may feel it is extravagant. It is wasteful. Mary did not reserve anything for herself. She did not bring the alabaster jar and just dabble a few on Jesus' head. No. She crashed it, broke it, and anointed on Jesus' head. She did not reserve anything for herself. She did not save anything for herself. She also came without regard of what people might say about her. What would people say? She's wasteful? Would people say she is also undignified? How can a woman come to the table where all the men were residing? But no, Mary did not care. Sometimes act of love, is so out of character. The act of love that really touch people is usually the act that is out of our character. What are we holding back? What are we holding back? What is our alabaster jar? What is our alabaster jar? That we are still holding on the beautiful perfume inside, waiting to come out to anoint our Jesus. What is that jar that we are still holding, still preserving, still taking care of? I believe that is ourself. The way we perceive ourselves, maybe our dignity, maybe the image that we have before people, or maybe our personality, or maybe something that we hold very dear, but not anyone can touch. We are holding that beautiful jar, that when people look at it, it's so beautiful. But yet, it has no smell, because all the perfume was still in there. What is your jar? What are you holding back? What are you holding back that you would not break and then let the perfume anoint our Jesus' head? When I preach this message to my junior high guys, you know, 12 to 15, I think their jaw is that they're so afraid to sing out loud in front of people. So when they come and sing, they will just mouth the words. They dare not hear their own voice. Or some people, maybe you think raising your hands are undignified. Or I have talked to a brother before. She said, I would never shed a tear. Okay? Even when he comes to worship, that the music touch him, this preaching touch him, he would not. I mean, even when he tear up, he would say, oh, I just yawn. I don't cry. That is the thing that is holding him back. Some people may have other things that are holding you back. I do not know what it is. But can you think? Can you break this so that the perfume can come out and anoint Jesus? Some of you, maybe it is your pride. Some of you, maybe it's unbelief that you cannot trust in God. That there are things that call for you to do, but you dare not to step up. Or maybe some of you are struggling. Should I go to that short-term mission? Will I really fit in that short-term mission? And you're holding back. Oh, I would not fit in. Or maybe some of you are thinking about longer-term mission, about an act of love for the Lord. Let's learn from Mary. Break the alabaster jar and let the perfume flow upon Jesus, because that warms our Savior's heart. Then why did Jesus said, everywhere we preach the gospel, we have also need to tell of what this woman has done for him? I think the reason is without our response, gospel will not be completed. If gospel is only about Christ loved us, God loved us and sent his son, and he died for us on the cross, that we believe him and then we have everlasting love, then this gospel is not complete. I believe there is another part to that gospel. Jesus Christ saved us from sin, give us a new heart and a new spirit, so that we may learn to love him. We may learn to express our love back to him, to use our act to serve him. And only through this that the gospel cycle will be completed. Otherwise, the gospel is not completed. Because we are created to love him, but yet because of sin, we digressed. We went astray. But Jesus come and give us a new life, that we may worship him, that we may love him. So let's encourage one another, that we would give our all to love him, to pour our love on him. Just like the song said, if we cannot express what his love meant for us, and we do not know how to express our love to him, but we want to give our heart, our soul, our mind, and all of our strength, make it a priority, seizing the opportunity, and doing things even when you feel it was undignified, fully breaking yourself, unreserved, and come to the Lord to worship him, like all upon his feet, like wine for him to drink, like water from our heart, that we pour our love on him, that we lavish our love on him, that even when people see us, they will say, wow, that is such an extravagant act. That is such an wasteful act. So brothers and sisters, I would like to invite you to use this song as our response, to pour our love on him, to not have any reserved, and to love him without any holding back. Love him first. Prioritize that. And seize every moment to worship him. I don't know how to say exactly how I feel. I can't begin to tell you what your love has meant. I'm lost for words. Is there a way to show the passion in my heart? Can I express how truly great I think you are, my dearest friend? Lord, this is my desire, to pour my love on you, like oil upon your feet, like wine for you to drink, like water from my heart. I'll pour my love on you, it praises like perfume,
I'll lavish mine on you, till every drop is gone. I'll pour my love on you.
Let's all rise and sing.
I don't know how. I don't know how to say exactly how I feel. I can't begin to tell you what your love has meant. I'm lost for words. Is there a way to show the passion in my heart? Can I express how truly great I think you are, my dearest friend?
Lord, this is my desire.
Lord, this is my desire, to pour my love on you, like oil upon your feet, like wine for you to drink, like water from my heart. I pour my love on you, it praises like perfume. I lavish mine on you, till every drop is gone. I pour my love on you, like oil upon your feet, like wine for you to drink. My heart, I pour my love on you, it praises like perfume. I lavish mine on you, till every drop is gone. I pour my love on you. I don't know how to say exactly how I feel. I can't begin to tell you what your love has meant. I'm lost for words.
Our dear Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Mary's extravagant act of love, act of worship for you. And Lord, help us to put loving you as the priority of our love life. And that we would seize every opportunity to show, to express our love for you. And Lord, I also pray that you would help us to break that self that is still holding us back. That beautiful jar that is holding all the perfume inside. Ask that you would give us faith and give us courage to break it. Because as our perfume is anointed on you, it smells good to the other people. That your fragrance would also inspire other people to break the jars for you. And Lord, help us and revive us that we will become lover of God, worshiper of God. We thank you for your presence today. As you continue to bless our service, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, please. Turn my time to Hui Ming to share with us a testimony.